Good morning, everyone. It's great to be with you, and it's great that you're with us on this this Advent Sunday. It's kind of like New Year's Day for the church, the 29th of November. So happy New Year as we look forward now to the coming of the Savior Emmanuel, God with us. And those of you who have already tuned in to the first Advent encouragement, which would have been available from early this morning, you're a head start on what we're going to be talking about here this morning. As we look at this lovely passage read to us there by David in Mark 13. Now, if you're following along in our Advent readings, there was an accompanying passage with it. It was Isaiah 64, and I would encourage you to go away and take a look at that as well. It's a wonderful prophetic message of Isaiah the prophet yearning for God to rend or open up the heavens and just come down and save us, and indeed looking forward to the day when he does just that. But for now, we're going to look at this Mark 13. And so before we begin, let us just pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for the season that we are in. Thank you that it helps to remind us of who you are and the certainty that you will come again. Praise your name that you will come again. And we thank you, Lord, for the meaning of this season that we are now in, for the lives of all those who profess your name, and for those who seek truth and salvation in life and can only find it in you. So be with us now as we study this word and learn from it, and more so by the power of your Spirit, help us to apply it daily in our lives. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Okay, so we're taking a look here at Mark 13, specifically the verses 24 down to 37 that were just read for us. Like all of the passages that we read in church every week, there's obviously stuff that has gone before, just immediately before, and there's stuff that comes immediately afterwards. And the stuff that has gone before is Jesus teaching the disciples about what is going to happen to him and what is going to happen to them and what is going to happen to the nation of Israel and what is going to happen in the future. There's so much packed in. So he's ostensibly talking about the future destruction of the temple, which happened in AD 70. He's also talking about the end of the world, which, well, hasn't happened yet. He's also talking about the fact that very shortly there's a major plot that will become apparent to murder or kill him. There's so much going on, and in the midst of that, he wants to teach his disciples something specific about the way they should live their lives in the times in which they are living their lives. And indeed, the whole Advent season is one great teaching point for the disciples of Jesus Christ, that's you and me, about our witness and about our behavior and how we should act and behave towards each other and towards others before he comes again. So that is the kind of attitude I want you to have as we approach what's going on, is to look for the teaching. What is Jesus saying to you about your particular witness in this time, as we celebrate the coming of the Christ child at Christmas and look forward to the coming of Christ once more? So that's kind of the context of where we're at. So I want you to consider three peaks. We're going to try and do this in three, by thinking about three peaks, okay? The first peak I want you to think about is K2, Big Mountain. 8,611 meters in the Himalayas, second highest mountain in the world. And one of the hardest, apparently, to climb. I'll never know because I'll never go up there. But I want you to think that that represents the first century. And in particular, it represents the destruction of the temple in AD 70 by the Romans under the emperor Vespasian. Okay? The first century was an incredibly important time, and one of the most significant events that happened in it was the destruction of the temple. Now, for the Jew, that was incredibly significant. The temple represented everything that was important in Jewish life, culture, and nation. The temple is where God resided. The temple is where people went to learn about God and to meet with God. The temple represented the center of cultural and national life. So the temple was everything. Remove the temple and you remove the singular most important pillar of Jewish national life and it crumbles. So when Jesus is talking in Mark 13 about the destruction of the temple, he's talking to the Jewish people about the destruction of the world as they know it. The language that he uses is stark, it's direct, and it would have been startling and frightening to those who were hearing it. Nevertheless, he's using it in a particular way to set up what comes next so that they understand the significance of it then, and more so we understand the significance of it now. So that's our first peak, K2. Let's take our second peak, Mount Everest. 8,848 meters. A couple of hundred meters higher than K2. And some distance away from it, if you ever want to bother taking a look at the map of the Himalayas, because that's what a nerd like me does, okay? But this represents, I want you to understand that Everest represents the 21st century, the here and now. And let's look at the here and now. Let's look at the age in which we live. So, it's an age of a lot of false teaching. It's an age of the prosperity gospel. It's an age of economic greed. It's an age of increasingly me-orientated society. It's an age of lies masquerading as truth. It's an age of the destruction of the meaning of language and much, much more. But it is not an age without hope. And yes, there are many wonderful things that are being invented, many great scientific breakthroughs and all of that. But this age, this 21st century, is marked by an increasingly selfish society, not a selfless society. And the worst thing that can happen to our world, for the Jews it was the destruction of the temple, the worst thing that can happen to our world and everything that is going on in it is actually the end of all those things, the end of the world. And in Christian terms, in New Testament terms, that will signal the coming of Jesus Christ. So, for the Jews, the destruction of the temple, K2. For us, the end of the world, but the coming of Jesus Christ, Mount Everest. And then I want you to think about a third peak, Calvary. 4.8 meters. Just 4.8 meters. And I want you to focus on what happened at Calvary. I want you to see the cross. I want you to see the baying crowds. I want you to see the weeping mother. I want you to see the weeping disciples. I want you to see the bleeding Christ. K2, Everest, Calvary. Now I want you to realize that as followers of Jesus Christ, we live in the light of what happened at Calvary. Yet that's our raison d'etre. That's our whole being. We live in the light of what happened at Calvary. Indeed, we live in the light of what is and is to come. And Jesus is speaking to you and to me when he speaks in this passage in Mark 13. Yes, of course, he was speaking to the disciples. That would be the contemporary understanding of it. But I want you to hear his voice. I want you to hear his voice when he says in verse 33, "Be on your guard, keep awake." When he says in verse 35, "Therefore, stay awake." When he says at the end of verse 37, "Stay awake." Prior to that, he has told them, but concerning that day or that hour, no one knows, not even the angels in heaven, nor the Son, but only the Father. He's telling them that the end of this age is only known by God. Only known by God. Therefore, we are to stay awake. But what are we to stay awake for? Are we to stay awake so that we can see the new dawn? Are we to stay? What are we staying awake for? We're staying awake so that we can still stay awake against the sins of this world and sin in general. For stay awake, read be alert. For stay awake, read be on your guard. We're not staying awake so that we might at some point see Jesus come back, that we might be awake at that particular moment. We're staying awake that we might be useful disciples in the current age before he comes again. Staying awake means being alert to sin, the ravages of sin, all those things that vex us in this age in which we live. We're staying awake so that we can keep talking about the gospel of Jesus Christ right up until the moment he comes again. Now, we've got kind of two responses that we could possibly take. When we hear this language of no one knows the hour that will come except God, no one knows when these events will happen, no one knows when he's coming again, we've got two things that we can do. Because indirectly, we're being given a choice. The first one is this. We can spend an enormous amount of time and energy looking at what's going on in the world today and trying to squeeze it into a tight fit of the scripture that we might be able to predict the right time when Jesus will come again. That is indirectly what Jesus is telling people not to do. But as you know, and I know, many, many Christians spend a huge amount of time trying to understand this event and when it will happen, and it defies belief for me when Jesus is saying the only person who knows is God. And he goes on to say, therefore, stay awake. The other choice you have is to listen to him and understand that God alone knows, and therefore stay awake by keeping talking about the gospel of Jesus Christ. Keep understanding that sin is dangerous, that sin needs defeated, that Those who are sinners need to repent and be forgiven. Stay awake so that the gospel of Jesus Christ stays alive. In other words, staying awake means keeping your eyes on the 4.8 meter Calvary and what happened there. Staying awake means following Jesus. Staying awake means seeing Jesus daily. Staying awake, in the words of Luke 9 and verse 23, Jesus talking again, and he said to all, "If anyone would come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me." Staying awake means seeing the cross on Calvary and picking up our own cross daily and following Jesus and leaving the rest to God, knowing that he will come again just as he's promised, knowing that he will come again when it's his time to come, knowing that the only person who knows when he's coming in is him. And it profits us not to be scurrying around and trying to shoehorn events into Scripture when we should be taking Scripture and making it alive in the events of the world in which we live. Many commentators say you won't understand the 21st century unless you fully understand the first century. And for the Jewish people, the first century was dominated by the destruction of their temple. For the 21st century, for you and for me, and for dear knows how many more to come, our time is dominated by our need to follow Jesus and be witnesses to the gospel of Jesus Christ on a daily basis. See K2 and understand it. See Everest and appreciate and understand it. See Calvary and the cross and pick it up daily and live your lives as witnesses to the glory of Jesus Christ. Stay awake. Amen.